Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You'll also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. If you're looking to get started with Facebook ads, you're a total beginner and you'd like to learn how you can create profitable Facebook ads for less than $10 a day, don't miss my free streaming online workshop that I put together for you, which you can sign up for over at rickmulready.com/newbies. That's N-E-W-B-I-E-S, rickmulready.com/newbies. All right, here's today's episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm Rick Mulready, and this is episode number 49. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Really appreciate you tuning into the podcast here. My guest today is none other than Neil Patel. And a lot of you know who Neil is, but for those of you who don't, he's the co-founder of companies Crazy Egg, Hello Bar, and Kiss Metrics. He also helps companies like Amazon, NBC, GM, HP, and Viacom grow their revenues. The Wall Street Journal calls him a top influencer on the web. Forbes says that he's one of the top 10 online marketers. And Entrepreneur Magazine says that he created one of the 100 most brilliant companies in the world. He was also recognized as a top 100 entrepreneur under the age of 30 by President Obama and one of the top 100 entrepreneurs under the age of 35 by the United Nations. Not too shabby. Those are some pretty cool accolades. And I asked Neil to come on to the show today to talk about email marketing, which we definitely discussed, but we also end up covering a bunch of different topics like Neil's tips for being a content creation machine. It's the first question I asked Neil because the dude writes like 17,000 words a week, literally. And I asked him to share what his tips are for creating so much great content on a regular basis. We talk about why email marketing is so important to your business. When someone joins your email list, Neil shares what some things that you can do to ensure that they continue getting their emails and they don't go into spam. So how do you increase that deliverability rate when someone joins your email list? We cover the simplest way to use email segmentation in your business. We get into copywriting strategies that'll improve your conversions, including what kind of headlines get the best open rates. He gave me one tip here when we're talking about headlines, and I was like, what are you talking about? He said, yep, we've tested it a lot and it works. You love this one. We also talk about the right way to upsell and cross-sell in your business that's not scammy. Neil shares how they use webinars to grow Kiss Metrics. And we also talk about calculating and the importance of knowing your long-term customer value. Great stuff, as always, here from Neil Patel. All right, let's go hang out with him. All right, Neil, welcome to the show. Now, we're going to be talking about some email marketing here, but I got to start off by asking you a very selfish question. How in the world do you write so much content?
I actually spend majority of my time writing content or being on emails and stuff like that, but that is like my job.
That's what you focus on.
Yeah, more than anything else is writing content.
How much do you write in a week? Because like your articles are amazing, both between QuickSprout and neilpatel.com, and they're all like monster posts, like super, super resourceful. Like what? Like tell me, like what is your? I'm very envious because I'm trying to figure this out in my own business right now. How do you spend your days when you're writing? You know, you're writing these types of articles. You're doing interviews like this. Like, how do you divide your time?
Yeah, so I do interviews and emails whenever they come up, but I write mainly during early mornings or later at night. That's when I'm the most productive.
Okay.
I write on average around 1,000 words per week.
17,000?
17,000 words.
That's crazy, man.
When I did a blog post today breaking down how to actually write more without reducing the quality, like how to write at a faster pace.
Yeah, I saw that come across today. So can you kind of like give a couple of tips out of that? Because, I mean, personally, that's one of the things that it takes me a long time. So if I'm writing like, even if it's like a 1,500 word post, it might take me like all day. But I see you like just cranking out these great pieces of content at a really, really rapid pace. What are some things that people can do to create better content more quickly?
Yeah, so just to give you a rough idea, I can write a 1,500 word to 2,000 word post in less than an hour usually.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Nice. But I'm not going to rub it in. I'll actually teach you how I do it.
Okay, cool.
So there's a few things. One, I only write when there's no distractions. That's a huge one. Because it's like when you're not in the right mood,
yeah,
you're not going to end up cranking out a lot of content.
Sure.
Two, I don't start writing until I know what I'm going to write about. Not just something like, oh, I'm going to write about SEO. It would be like, no, what's the headline going to be? What are the main points I'm going to discuss? Like, I'm getting all the thoughts in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I start writing.
Now, are you choosing those topics based on what people are asking you about, or how are you choosing those topics?
Either what people ask me about, like to write on, based on survey data. We run qualitative surveys on the blog every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I also get a lot of email inquiries of people asking me just random marketing questions. So if I notice a commonality, then I'll blog on it. I also speak at conferences a lot. So when I go to conferences, again, people ask questions and I get to see what people are interested in, what they're not.
Sure. Okay. All right. So you outline everything, touch on the main points that you want to be talking about in the article, your headline, and then what?
The headline, outline it. I start with the introduction, then I go to body, then I go to the conclusion. I also, again, talk about no distractions. I'm also a really fast typer, so if you type often, you'll actually get pretty good at it.
Sure.
I also don't write on the web, so like I'm not online when I'm writing because it just causes emails and people messaging you on GChat.
Right.
I'm actually unplugged when I write.
Okay, so what's your preferred method?
I use Microsoft Word.
Oh, okay. Okay, so pretty basic.
Yeah, pretty basic. It works really well. The other thing I've learned too is when you're blogging, a lot of people spend majority of the time, or at least half the time, putting the blog post into WordPress, uploading images,
Looking
it for grammar, rereading it. I don't do any of that. I have an editor. They do all of that. That saves me so much time. Then I just really have to write.
So yeah, you just bang it out and then get it over to them and they fix it from there.
Yeah, I bang it out. I send it off to Devil, who works for me. He's like my assistant. He does all my scheduling calls and stuff like that, right? The interview, he even scheduled this with
yep.
you.
Yep, very efficient guy.
Yep, so then once I get the post done, I send it off to him. He uploads it, he emails the editor, he also adds the pictures. Then the editor proofreads it, makes sure it's all right, editor schedules it, goes out, and then I'm good to go.
Now, what about, is this a full-time editor that you have?
No, I use this lady named Anna. I've mentioned her a few times, I don't know her email, but I mention her on the blog every once in a while, and she charges, I think, like 3 cents a word.
3 cents a word. Interesting. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. So let's get into email marketing. Let's start off with like the most basic of question. Why is it so important for people?
Email is one of the highest converting channels I've ever seen on the internet. Probably is the highest converting channel I've seen on the internet.
Over other forms? All other forms. Okay. So let's talk about when somebody joins your email list. So if we're all focusing on email marketing, and I talk about it because I'm a Facebook ads guy, so we talk a lot about it from once somebody opts into whatever you're giving away, whatever your lead magnet is on your Facebook ad, that you got to start to build that relationship with them via email marketing. So let's say somebody joins your email list. What are some things that you can do to ensure that they're going to continue to get your emails and they don't end up in a spam or other, you know, kind of weird folders in Gmail.
Use a good service provider, right? Because service providers, some of them suck and they have a lot of spam users on them, so that actually hurts you.
Okay.
Two, the other thing I would actually do is make sure that when you're doing emails that you have your own dedicated IP, that way you're not sharing it with other people too. If you're sharing it with other people, what ends up happening is if the other guy's spamming, it's also going to cause all your emails to go in spam. Three, the other thing I would actually end up doing is, like, when it comes to emails, right, what I would end up doing is cleaning your list, like scrubbing it. So if people are continually emailing, let's say, I don't know, like that they don't end up reading, right? Or you end up sending emails that people aren't reading.
Mm-hmm.
So what you would want to do, like if I email you, Rick, 5 times and you don't open up emails, some email providers will actually put my email going on from the future into your spam box.
Just because I haven't opened it up?
That's correct.
Wow, okay.
So what I typically do is scrub the list. If someone doesn't keep opening up the emails, I don't continue to send them emails. That ensures that your emails go into the inbox. Another thing that you can actually do is use a service. I'm trying to think of the name. These guys guarantee email deliverability. They're the main providers of this. I should know this. My VP of marketing came from there at Kissmetrics. He ran their sales. But there's a service provider that guarantees email deliverability. They're a third party, and they have deals like with Yahoo and Hotmail and Google, and they ensure your emails go into the inbox as well. And I forgot what they charge, but it's a hefty fee. Your emails will go in the inbox then.
Really? So it kind of layers in on top of like Infusionsoft or something like that?
That's correct.
Wow. Now, you mentioned like sharing an IP. What? Tell me more about that, because that's really interesting what you were saying about that.
If there's two people emailing from the same IP, me and you, let's say you're emailing clean marketing emails and I'm emailing spammy diet pill stuff.
Yeah.
And if everyone starts putting my emails in spam, even though your emails are legitimate, because we're saying the same IP, your emails will also start going to the spam box.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay. So for the kind of the solopreneur, if you will, that isn't necessarily going to be an issue. But if we're looking at like a small agency for something like that, that could be an issue for them.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, what about segmentation? And how do you recommend that people use segmentation? Because, you know, the listeners of the show here, I mean, I have beginner people to more advanced people who are using, you know, Infusionsoft and Ontraport, and maybe they're using those systems with, you know, in addition to other ones like SendGrid or something like that, to the more basic of people just using, you know, MailChimp or AWeber. How do you recommend that people start using email segmentation or maybe get better results from the email segmentation that they're currently using?
So it becomes tough with a lot of solutions out there.
Yeah.
They just don't have all the functionality. But what I like doing is having different opt-ins and offers, and based on what people opt into, you add them to a different list. Because then they're segmented based on their interests.
Okay.
So for example, sometimes on QuickSpot, I'll ask, do you want more traffic? If they say yes, they're interested in traffic generation solutions. If they say no, we ask them if they're interested in conversion optimization solutions. Right? It's a different audience, because a lot of people who have a lot of traffic are more interested in optimizing how many people convert into visitors, into customers, right?
Yeah, sure. So from that perspective, I want to come back to email writing here or email marketing here in a second, but you just mentioned something really interesting. And I want to talk about like determining your long-term customer value. And a lot of people, again, a lot of listeners of the show here are going to understand how to do that. But there's also going to be a lot of people who haven't quite figured out how best to do that. What are your recommendations there on trying to figure out the best way to figure out what that long-term customer value is and why it's so important for your business?
So you're saying, how do you figure it out and why is it important to your business?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So the way you would figure it out is you would just analyze the LTV. There's solutions out there like Kissmetrics, which helps you determine that. The reason you want to know that is, if a customer, hypothetically, let's say you're Amazon, or even 1/100th of the size, or 1/1000, right? You're still a big company at that point. If you know that your customer keeps coming back to you and buys from you for over 5-6 years, and they're worth over a 5-year period, $1,000, right? Even though in year one you only may make $50 from them, wouldn't you be willing to spend $100, $200 on them and lose money on year one and even year two if you know you're going to make it up on year three, four, five, etc.?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? That's the reason knowing the lifetime value of your customers is so important.
So you're using systems like Akismetrics to be able to determine that, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Are there other ways to be doing that? So if someone is not able to be using like Akismetrics for you know, for whatever reason right now, are there other ways to do it? I mean, are we looking at like just basic spreadsheets and stuff like that? Or what do you think there?
Yeah, you can do spreadsheets. You can do internal database stuff. Database stuff is even going to be more accurate than Akismetrics or anything else, right? Like we even analyze it for our own customers through our own database. We create our own custom stuff. Not everyone can do it because it's expensive. But that's how you really truly do it.
Through the database?
Yeah, through your own backend.
Okay. So I want to go back to the email marketing and copywriting. What are some copywriting strategies, let's just say from an email marketing perspective, that are going to improve or increase your conversions that people can, you know, test out in their own business?
So you're saying, what are some copywriting techniques that people can test out in their business?
Yeah, if they're looking to improve the conversions within their sales funnels.
And specifically emails, right? Not landing pages?
Yeah.
So emails, casual subject lines work really well, like lowercase. Think about it. If your friend emails you, do you think they're all proper? Usually not, right? So test that out. It typically converts really well. In addition to that, what I would also test is adding a PS at the bottom of your email. That typically also converts really well too, right? Gives you another opportunity to plug in a link.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is in your email copy, don't just try to pitch people. Give them a bit before you try pitching, like a few paragraphs worth of text. So giving before you ask is another great way. The other thing I would actually test with emails is try text-based emails versus having images and stuff like that. In most cases, we found that text-based emails versus images converts better.
Having no images in the email at all?
That's correct. It varies. Sometimes you can actually have images and emails and it converts better. But usually when people do like the templates emails, like the design and all that kind of stuff around it, doesn't convert as well.
What do you think about making sure that you are thinking about mobile and how your email is going to look in the mobile environment?
Well, that's more so your website, right? Because Gmail, Hotmail, all those sites, they're already pretty compatible with all the mobiles, like phones and devices out there.
Sure. Now, you mentioned headlines or subject lines there and just being very like lowercase and just not being so formal. What are some other strategies for getting, because that obviously it starts there. I mean, people have to open up your email in order to read it. So you got to catch their attention with the headline. What are some other strategies there that people can kind of follow through with to test out with headlines?
Yeah. So other strategies people use test out headlines is they also use the, is it called subheadline? I can actually find out right now. Let me actually create an email. Campaigns. There's something called the preheader.
Preheader, right? Okay.
So when you're on Gmail, you'll actually see that in addition to the headline or the subject. Something else that you can also end up testing is just doing A/B tests. So your email service provider should allow you to test a few different options.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in a few different options. Upworthy, BuzzFeed, all these guys do this. It's not like they pick amazing headlines for every single article and they're always a hit. It's like, no, they pick like 30 headlines and typically one or two of them will work, right?
Yeah.
That's why they're so successful. In addition to that, when you're doing like these headlines, keep them short. A lot of people try to do like 10, 15 word headlines. Gets cut off on mobile devices, gets cut off on a lot of small like iPad and stuff like that. Keep your subject lines and headlines short, like 6 words.
I'm definitely guilty of that, man.
A lot of people are. How-tos, lists, etc. Like things that are action-oriented tend to do the best as well. Using adjectives, odd numbers also helps.
Odd numbers?
Yes, we found odd numbers work better than even.
Really? Why? Why would that be?
I have no idea, but we keep running tests on it. Odd numbers usually always win. It's like over 90% of the time.
Interesting. Well, I want to go back to that pre-header that you mentioned for Gmail. What is that like? If I'm looking at it on my phone and I see a little bit of the email in addition to the subject line, is that what you're talking about?
That's a pre-header, and you can put in whatever there, even if it's the text isn't even the email.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check that out because I don't know where that is, but that's pretty darn cool. So I want to talk about upselling and cross-selling for a second, because you talk about this on QuickSprout, and you know, when it comes to paid traffic, we're always looking to increase the value of our customer that we're trying to bring in the door. And unfortunately, though, upselling and cross-selling are two strategies that unfortunately get sort of bucketed into that kind of scammy, or people get kind of turned off with it. So how do you recommend that people do, you know, the upselling and cross-selling in their business the quote-unquote right way?
Yeah, upselling and cross-selling done the right way is really simple, in which you're supposed to upsell and cross-sell products that are related to the original offer that they're buying. So for example, if someone's buying dog food, you wouldn't want to upsell them on, you know, a trip to Hawaii. It just doesn't make sense. Right, sure. Assuming the products are highly relevant and related, people don't mind it. And you only want to show upsells and cross-sells that benefit the customer. So if someone's offering dog food and they're buying a lot of dog food, you may also offer them like, hey, you're buying a lot of dog food. Do you want an automatic dog food dispenser so you don't have to keep like giving your dog food every single day? Mm-hmm. Makes it the right portion, amount, etc., right? That would be a good upsell or a cross-sell.
So just make sure that you're keeping to adding value, whenever possible. Adding value that's relevant to the original offer.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm kind of all over the place a little bit at this point because there's so many questions I do want to ask you, Neil. So when you were at Kissmetrics, you guys ran a lot of webinars that were really successful and, you know, helped you guys build that business. What are some things about the webinar strategy that you guys used that worked really well?
So a few of the things that we use in the webinar strategy, right, is we ended up just giving a ton of information. A lot of people use webinars to get leads, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not that effective compared to if you actually use webinars, educate, and then you're like, oh, by the way, we can help you with some of these things that we talked about during the webinar. It's much more effective.
So you just, so are you selling off of the webinar?
We don't sell directly. We just collect leads, and the sales team then follows up.
Okay. And so when you say follow up, there are they like via phone, that sort of thing, or how are they like, or email, or what's that strategy look like?
Yeah, well, when it comes to like, let's say we get a lead from a webinar, assuming it's qualified, so we have software that automatically pre-qualifies if the company meets our ideal requirements, like if they're e-commerce site or subscription-based business, we think they have enough traffic based on Alexa rank, etc., right? Then a sales rep goes and follows up with them.
Okay. All right. So that is that software like is that like proprietary software that you guys have? That's pretty cool.
It is not. Some of it's proprietary, but most of it we're using lead qualification software. I don't know which one we're using, but it does most of it for us.
Cool. In your opinion, what's the best? What's working the best right now in the form of paid traffic that you have seen? What channel? What strategy?
I would say Facebook ads has been doing really well. Google AdWords still works really well. But what we found with all forms of paid advertising, most people just try to send up product pages and get people to buy.
Yeah.
We found that sending people throughout a funnel, like getting them to opt in, giving them stuff, and then selling them later down the road converts way better.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk a lot about that here on the show and making sure that people don't try to, you know, send people directly to a sale. You got to build that relationship with them first via email. I'm curious, what's your opinion on what has been going on with Facebook with regard to Facebook ads over the past 6 months or so, where they've really started to crack down and they're making sure that, you know, look, like you have to be adding value to Facebook users or we're going to slap you on the wrist. And, you know, it's really kind of changed the scope of Facebook ads. And it's I think it's a good thing because it makes it really is looking out for the user experience and it's making us as marketers and advertisers, it has to make us work a little bit harder in order to get the right people into the door. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it works out well in the long run, right? Because it's best for the user. Facebook has to do what's best for the user. If they don't, people stop clicking on ads and using Facebook, which sucks for the advertisers in the long run.
Cool. What are you most excited about in your world right now? I know that you're doing a pretty cool thing over on your own site, neilpatel.com, but what are you most excited about right now?
Working on creating a new software for marketers, so everyone's gonna have to wait to see what it is.
Really, you're not gonna tease us any more than that?
Nah,
I didn't even know about that. That's not why I'm asking you that question. But okay, when does that due out?
Probably 3-4 months.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And your software is great. Like, I love going over to your site because you can plug in your site URL and it'll do a complete analysis of your page and tell you how bad it is or how good it is and give you actionable things that you can do. So, everybody, make sure you check out quicksprout.com, neilpatel.com, anywhere else that people can connect with you, Neil?
That's mainly it. Just quicksprout.com on the contact page.
Awesome. And I'll be sure to link those up in the show notes for today's episode. Neil, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope this was helpful to you. I realize that we jumped around a lot during the episode today, covering a bunch of different topics. But my hope is that you walk away from this episode here with Neil with one or two tips that you'll go and test in your business right away and see what works best for you. Highly recommend that you check out Neil's sites, neilpatel.com and quicksprout.com. Be forewarned, though, you are very likely to go down a rabbit hole when you visit his websites. There's such great content over there. I've spent several hours there going through and reading his content. It's that good. So definitely check it out. I've linked up all the sites and the page that we talked about today over on the show notes page for today's episode, which is at rickmulready.com/49. Now, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, if you like this show, if you're digging this podcast and you want to support it, and let me know, Rick, yes, I'm learning a lot from it. I'm putting what I'm learning into action in my business. Or if you have suggestions for guests or topics that you'd like me to cover, please let me know by leaving a rating review for the podcast over on iTunes. Simply just search on The Art of Paid Traffic. Leave your rating and review there. It only takes a second, I promise, and your support really means a lot, and it helps us with the rankings there on iTunes so that we can help more people with this content. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. Really means a lot. All right, that's all for today's show, my friends. Got another killer episode coming your way in the next one, though. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.